Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are in time for Power Friday. And you know what? Power Friday, it's time for us to discuss something new. I know a lot of you are into hip-hop. A lot of you are into politics. How many of you are into hip-hop and politics? What is the connection, if any? Well, I tell you what, we have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Craig Albert, assistant professor at Augusta University, assistant professor of political science. I didn't mention much about the new position where you're director of your master's program because we're going to be focusing on politics. But for the benefit of the people who have not heard us talk yet, if you would go ahead and tell us more about your role at Augusta University.
Sure. I'm actually now an associate professor.
Associate professor,
The Department of Social Sciences, and political science falls under social sciences now.
Gotcha.
And I'm the graduate director of the Master of Arts of Intelligence and Security Studies. So the Master of Arts in Intelligence and Security Studies. And we cover a myriad of fields, including strategic cybersecurity, traditional national and international security, so war studies, terrorism, counterterrorism studies, and then intelligence data collection methods, all under the guise of the Master of Arts.
And the last time Dr. Albert was with us, we discussed a number of things, including what's happening with Syria, the connection between there and Iraq. We talked about the proposals that President Trump has come up with regards to economic policy and the impact that it could have on us. We talked about so many different things. Dr. Albert is going to be joining us every last Friday of the month. Today, he'll be with us for half an hour because we have another guest scheduled for 1:30. But after this, every last Friday from 1 until 2, you'll get a chance to gain some insights from Dr. Albert. I'm excited about that. I appreciate you so much for having broached that and being willing to do that with us.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's my pleasure. I can't wait.
It's going to be great. So today, ladies and gentlemen, again, the topic is hip-hop and politics. Dr. Albert, I'll be honest with you. Were that not one of your subjects, I would not have known. I never would have thought a connection. I would have thought about a connection between hip-hop and religion, even though some of the founders say it is not a religion, etc. I would have, especially since we have what some people are calling hip-hop music.
Yeah.
I would have said, okay, I would have thought about, I have thought about a connection between hip-hop and religion. But hip-hop and politics, what is the connection?
It's, you know, hip hop was really established as a political movement, as kind of a resistance against the oppression, the alienation of the blacks. You know, it started down in the Caribbean, actually, in the 60s or late 50s, some would argue, and then migrated its way up into Jamaica, Queens, New York. And there it was really a resistance against all the racial tensions that was going on in a way for African-Americans to express their identity in a very unique way. And it just caught on. And a lot of people didn't think it was going to become popularized. But obviously that was disavowed and quickly became very popularized. And by the early 70s, of course, you have your well-known, famous, established hip-hop groups and artists. And by the late 70s and early 80s, you start seeing the hip-hop culture create what would become, you know, kind of mainstream American culture, which is interesting because hip-hop kind of started underground in at least in America, in New York. So one way as a professor that I have to try to, you know, keep up to date with my students and really try to provoke them into understanding politics, they always say, well, Dr. Albert, we don't want to take politics because politics doesn't affect our lives, or we don't like politics. You know, first day of class, they always say that. You know, why are you taking this class? My introduction to American government class, and they're like, because we have to. It's Georgia required. They have to take it. And so, and I go, but don't you want to know about politics? And they go, no, it doesn't affect us. And I'm like, all right. So here's some ways I'm going to teach you that it does affect you. If you listen to hip hop, you like politics. If you like anything, a couple other things I throw in there in different classes I teach on this. If you like zombies or apocalyptic literature, you like politics. Pretty much anything within that realm, anything within the popular culture is directly tied to politics. And so I teach a couple courses that focus on that to really hook students even more. So I teach a hip hop and politics course, and I teach a zombie and politics course. So we'll talk about that at a later date. Yeah. The hip hop and politics I teach it through what's called in political science lingo, American political institutional development. So it kind of traces how American institutions, how American popular culture trends with the times, and how what's kind of keeping up to date and how that affects politics, and how can you really see politics through American political development. Using hip hop as a vehicle to kind of trick students into learning that is why I do it. But it's so closely connected anyways, hip hop and politics. And what I do is we'll teach some of the historical developments of hip hop, what was going on in the 60s and 70s that made hip hop so popular, that made it, you know, become a voice for so many people. And then we just trace it through the 80s, through the 90s, through the early 2000s. And in so doing, we learn about all the issues that were being sung about, rapped about, DJed about in the hip hop movement. And you can get to a lot of issues that most people don't really think hip hop is about. You mentioned one of them, religion. So we talk about the nexus between religion and American political development in that course through something of what's called hip hop theology, which is still very popular today. I'm of the belief that Jay-Z is a popularizer of this, where you try to make a different type of religion or a cultural religion that's outside of the way we usually think of religion, but it's a religion of the streets, kind of a code of the streets type of thing. And how do you survive and how do you live under this certain mentality, under this certain code? I think both Jay-Z and like Kanye West would fit into that category of, and so I can bring politics and religion into the classroom through hip hop, through that vehicle. I actually used Jay-Z's autobiography, Decoded, the last time I taught the class. And he mentions these types of things, not just religion, but he mentions sexuality, politics, race, feminism, all of these types of issues that he brings up in his lyrics. And so I'll teach the actual theoretical concepts of these lyrics, and then have the students tell me what they mean, the lyrics themselves, through the theoretical concepts. So it's pretty cool the way we get into it like that. And we go through that, again, we trace it historically, so from the 70s all the way to the present. So it's quite interesting.
And it's one of the things that you said that's really interesting to me, this is just fascinating. I always assumed that hip-hop started in America. But not so.
No, not so. It started in, you know, the Caribbean, and I mean, they can trace elements of it going well back, and you know, the certain drum patterns that are very popularized by hip hop artists. It goes back to, well, you can make a case that it goes back to Africa hundreds of years ago, and it got carried over in the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th centuries to the Caribbean, and then migrated north into New York, and you know, and in New York, where it was really popularized, it was really more than just about just lyrics at that time. And we've lost some of those elements today of hip hop. So, you know, graffiti was a big part of hip hop. Breakdancing was a big part of hip hop. DJing or disc jockeying was a big part of that. And then, of course, you know, rapping, the actual lyrical flow was a big part. But all of that together encompassed what we call the hip-hop movement or the hip-hop culture. And much of it was expressed politically, or it was the way for, of course, mainly African-Americans to express themselves politically, as opposed to the system that was, of course, constrained. And, of course, during this time, even today, we have the you know, huge racial tensions. And you can still see today's current hip-hop artists talking about racial issues, especially with the post-Trump election, made famous, you know, at the Grammy Awards, and even Eminem himself dissing President Trump through his lyrics and saying that Trump doesn't respect African-Americans. That's what hip-hop is about, is a way for you to kind of rage against the machine in a way that expresses and allows you to help cement your cultural identity. So I grew up with hip hop, and I always felt a connection to it. because I always felt in a way like trapped, oppressed, obviously in a quite different way than what hip hop was intended for. But there's a certain, you know, I think music of all genres helps connect you to something more universal than yourself. Yeah. And that way hip hop spoke to me. And so I decided to start teaching classes on it, and I actually got a publication out of it and a book that's all about the politics of hip hop, which is called The Organic Globalizer, which was published in 2014. I have a chapter in there on exactly this, teaching hip hop. It's called, oh my goodness, I can't remember. No Church in the Wild. Politics. It's like politics, sexuality, and hip hop in the political science classroom or something. Hmm. You know, it's right around there. But No Church in the Wild. And that No Church of the Wild is a song that I stole the title from properly. So, you know, cite it from Jay-Z and Kanye West. And they had a little group for a moment called Watch the Throne. And that's the song that they had on there, was No Church in the Wild.
Interesting. And so, and you're sharing that it wasn't a matter of rap coming on the scene and hip hop growing out of rap, but rap actually came up under the umbrella of hip hop.
That's right. Hip hop came first, and the rap or the lyrical notions of it was an essential element of it. And now you, of course, would distinguish between hip hop and rap. And even within rap itself, of course, we're going to distinguish between the different modes of rap music that we have. You have the old, what some people use. I don't like the terms, but this is the different way it's called. It's called gangster rap. Yeah. This is when you had in the 90s, you know, West Coast versus East Coast, you know, yeah. Biggie and Tupac and stuff. Some people call that thug rap. Versus you have also underground rap or what's called today, some people call it as emo rap. And you have a beef today between traditional rappers like Jay-Z and new upcomers that have a completely different style of rap. They don't even, you know, consider themselves. They don't honor the founders of rap that came before them. So they've lost all the elements of the original rap, which means they've lost all the elements of original hip hop, of what it's supposed to be about.
So, because originally it was about politics. It was about the message.
That's right. It was the message. Now, don't get me wrong. It was also about expressing yourself, letting loose, and having a good time. Mm-hmm. But even that self-expression, the way it was done, I mean, you would have block parties and, you know, Jamaica Queens, you know, established by these, you know, local DJs or that, you know, were just legendary in their blocks and their, you know, their little neighborhoods that they had, and everybody would come to it, and that was the thing to do. So it was a cultural self-expression, a way to show your group identity. And then all of a sudden, what was literally in the 70s, you know, block by block differentiated, just blew up and became nationwide. And it was about it's politics. It's a way to talk about how your culture views one's culture views sexuality, how one culture views a religion. You know, this is, we can say this about all types of music, but for hip hop specifically, it just was a mesh of all of these cultural elements that we still have today.
Dr. Albert, here's one of the songs that you were mentioning. No Church in the Wild.
No Church in the Wild.
Rolling in the Rolls Royce Caniche. Only the doctors got this, I'm hiding from police. think I got the whole thing bleached. Drug dealer chic. I'm wondering if a thug's prayers reach. It's pious, for God loves pious. Socrates asks, whose bias do y'all seek? Off Plato. Screech. I'm out here ballin', I know you hear my sneaks. Jesus was a carpenter, Yeezy, play beats. Hope will flow, the Holy Ghost, get the hell up out your seats. Preach.
Human beings in a mob. What's a mob to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer?
Dr. Albert and I'll be right back.